What's up, guys, to another episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And today we are starting with some somber news that just happened today. So today we're recording. It's December 8th. Today we were told that Juice WRLD has died at the age of 21. So he was, I don't know exactly where he was going, but he was at the airport getting off a plane and he had a seizure. And the paramedics came, grabbed him. He was conscious at the time they got to him, but reports were saying that he was bleeding from the nose and from the mouth. And then when he got to the hospital, he was pronounced dead. So it's crazy.
Yeah, that was at the Chicago O'Hare Airport, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. And I mean, when I read it, I immediately jumped to the thought, unfortunately, of possible past drug abuse. And after DJ Goose actually pulled it up right now, it says an article on heavy.com that he had started using purple drink, lean, whatever you want to call it, by the sixth grade. So it's what, about 11, 12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine, I mean, think of the harm it does to a full grown adult. Think of what it does to a developing body. And it says that he kicked the addiction in 2019. For
July.
His girlfriend in July, which was a couple months ago. But, I mean, the damage has been done. I think the medical examiner hasn't been confirmed anything yet or what the cause of death is. But for someone to bleed through their mouth and nose just from a seizure is not really common. And if you know anything about opioids or abusing certain... because he was addicted to Percocets, it said as well in the article, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So it fucks up your body pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, and... It is sad, you know, when any rapper dies, whether it's from gang-related, something weird like this, drug overdose. I mean, Mac Miller died. Was it this year or was it last year that he passed away?
I think it was last year.
I think it was last year. So it's always, like, it's always bad that happens. And we're just kind of here wondering, like, what exactly could have caused this? Because it could have, again, it really could have been something that just happened. But, again, we don't know of any medical reason or anything condition that he had that would have triggered a seizure and we were thinking about, you know, what there could have been another trigger. I mean, the drugs might not have been it. I mean, it probably didn't help him live and made the seizure worse. But we were talking about, you know, he's been through a lot of flack, recently. One of the ones that most people know is this whole thing with Sting, with his song Lucid Dreams. He sampled a song from Sting and didn't ask him. And Sting, like...
Came after him hardcore.
Yeah, he's like, it's my song. Okay, I mean, I think did he take all, or was it like 95%?
No, royalties? It's 85% royalty, okay, that he took. And then he said, he threatened, even after he won the 85%, I'm in thought process of continuing for more. And I think it's just to send a message. Because again... other people have sampled that song. It's a very famous song, Shape of My Heart. Nas sampled it. Tory Lanez did. And to our knowledge, I don't know if Sting has any royalties. If he did, I'm assuming it's maybe a small amount. But to us, we're under the impression they just went, hey, can we use it? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And that was that.
Yeah. So, again, I think he wanted an example of Juice WRLD to be like, all you have to do is ask. I mean, if you ask, it's all good. If you don't, then I'm going to go for everything that you've got. So...
he brings that up because we were talking before starting recording, because I brought up the concept of how social media is so prevalent in today's, especially in the younger generation, on how cyberbullying, whatever you want to take, you get flack for. Like, it's tough. I don't really have social media, so I don't put myself out there like that. I don't think humans are supposed to have that much exposure to each other. Quite frankly, that's just my opinion. But to be constantly in the limelight, constantly... being either praised or attacked, like, you hear both sides. So you get, okay, this is addicting because this feels good to be acknowledged. And then you have your other wave of people that just are there to kind of berate you constantly. So I don't know if that also had an effect on his mental state of mind. And going back to the whole seizure thing, if he had a pre-existing condition that he was taking medications for and he's mixing in other prescription medications, I mean, we all know that's going to be awful and have terrible consequences. So, you know, condolences to his family, but I think that just kind of a message not send or not abuse any kind of drugs, really, because what's his name died? Lil Peep. last year, I think, as well. That or 2017. I don't know. I never really followed him. We never really followed Juice WRLD, to my knowledge. I mean, I'm not a huge fan. I liked a couple of his songs, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't think I was a huge fan of his either. But again, just losing anyone that young is always hard. And I don't know if you actually know, just to go on your on what you're talking about social media, it is a huge problem. And even though, you know, we've talked about how a lot of rappers, they have a persona. They have someone that they're trying to be in their albums, in their when they're talking in interviews. And it really sometimes doesn't reflect how they actually are, how they really feel. And so they could be under this pressure, this this social pressure or cyberbullying, whatever, and it can manifest itself in different ways where some people can get physically injured. The seizure might have caused it. We don't know. It could be that. But I wanted to bring that because what's interesting, or not interesting, but what's been happening too, like, I listen to K-pop, not as much as, like, all my other friends, but, like, within the last, I think, a month and a half, there's been 3 suicides from prominent K-pop stars. And all of them are, like, because they were depressed, they had issues with social media. A lot of these had these quote-unquote controversies, which, if you really look at them, if they were to happen in the U.S. and they were U.S. stars, it would have really just blown over. But because it was Korea, like, they flacked on them. Like one of them was because a pop star was taking pictures without having a bra on, and people were just, like, attacking her for it.
And she had a shirt on.
Yeah, she had a shirt on.
Just no bra underneath it.
Just no bra underneath. And then all that pressure and all that were one of the factors that led to her suicide. So.
And back to your, I mean, yeah, see that mental state of mind, the culture that is the Korean culture, far more conservative. They have different morals. Yeah, I would have blown over if it was here in the States. But, I mean, in the States, whether there's norms or not, you just have a differing opinions, right? You have the hate, then you have the love. Which one do you abide by? Do you believe both? We've seen multiple people spiral out of control. DMX is a prime example of it. I think most recently Minaj, right? I think we saw the tail end of her sanity dealing with that level of success, the expectation of people that admire her, and the constant level of hatred of people that dislike her just because they're in a state of mind of just, I can hate someone, so I'm going to hate them. I know I've mentioned stuff of hating certain artists, and I don't hate them as individuals. Again, I hate their media. I don't like their songs. But I think that again, people place too much of a focus on that, and it takes a toll, especially on a generation that has only known social media. Mm. I think our generation was the last that it was manifesting when we were, like, maybe teenagers. But that isn't what our whole entire life was based on, so we have other things to draw off of. But
yeah, so, I mean, I think there's just warning signs that there has to be some sort of reform or dialing back on the social media, because a lot of people praise it because it helps, because there's pros and cons to everything, but I think there's the cons are manifesting itself a lot more, and they're a lot more deadly.
I think it just comes from, specifically in the U.S., such an unhealthy obsession with celebrities. There are shows, namely things like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which just follows, which is fine. I'm not hating on them specifically. I'm not a fan, quite frankly, of any of them. I don't necessarily hate each individual. They get their money, but people are so obsessed with what they do at all times of day. And sure, get your guilty pleasure, but when you obsess to the point where it influences how you make decisions in life, that's insane to me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So, but yeah.
That shit gives me anxiety.
Yeah, so, again, RIP, Juice WRLD. I mean, if you loved him, like, go listen to him. If you drink, what is it, you pour one for him. Yeah. I don't drink here, so I don't do any of that stuff.
Pour a 40 out for your dead homie.
I'll pour the 40-ounce Coke. Oh, yeah, I should.
40-ounce
Coke? Yeah.
No, I'll do a 40-ounce Henny. I'm kidding. That'd be so expensive. Henny's pricey, and I like it.
You got the money for it. Just... All right, so now we're going to move on to is a topic we were going to talk a while back, but just holidays, everything got in the way, so we weren't able to record about it. But I wanted to talk about Kanye West, because his album came out about 2-3 weeks ago, I believe.
I want to go with almost 4.
Maybe a month, yeah.
Yeah.
So Jesus is King came out. He had been heavily promoting it before. He had those Sunday services. He had it actually here in Utah during General Conference, which basically what that is, if you know Utah, there's a lot of LDS people or Mormons, and they have the leaders give talks every 6 months. And so the day they want to do his Sunday service on a Saturday happened to be that same time that they were giving talks. So downtown was busy. And I feel like this album has has polarizing reviews from what I've read. And I just wanted to hear, I'm pretty sure you want to hear what we think about Jesus is King.
We have differing opinions on this as well.
Yeah.
Unless your opinion has changed since we last talked.
I've listened to it again and it really hasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think it would.
So I'm going to start this off with saying I'm not a fan of Jesus is King.
And naturally, we said we're differing opinions, so you now know I am a fan. Do I think it's his best work? No, but I actually am a big fan.
And here's the thing, though. It's not like I absolutely hate everything that's on this album. He actually does a lot of good things. I really love how he uses the choir, especially in the beginning. Like, it is amazing what he does. The production he does on that is just, I don't know how he thinks of this stuff. But what was funny, like, in that first song when they had the chorus, that part is, like, really good. It's kind of repetitive because that's how a lot of these songs of worship are. And then he starts coming in. And I don't know what it was, but him coming in just didn't mesh well to me. And I was like, he sounds like this guy trying to, like, butt in or try, like, a third wheel type on a date. That's what he felt like to me when I first heard it. And that's kind of where it started off on the wrong foot and it just could never, like, come back to it.
Yeah, I like to take multiple perspectives on an album before I'd really decide on what I think maybe their approach was. And that's just me projecting my thoughts on what he may truly be thinking. But I Right. think he's such an open person that even though we may not know what's going on in his mind, we do know how he wants to express himself. So just to backtrack, I want to just kind of make a couple things that I think I've heard that people either hate on it or like it. Just some backstory on his Christianity. We all know, did we talk about this in our last podcast? I do not want to harp on it again if we did, but...
You keep going, I'll keep thinking about if we did.
I think it was just a conversation with our brothers, what we were talking about. If you think about his biggest album release, he had four singles that came out, and I think it was All Falls Down, Through the Wire, what was the, was it Slow Jams? Yeah.
I keep thinking it's Twistas, but I know it's not.
I know it's not Twistas, it's Slow Jams, yeah. And then we... And I know those three songs are recognized, but what really made him pop off?
Jesus Walks.
Jesus Walks, right? There's even an interview with Jay, and they ask him, what's Kanye's best or greatest record of all time? And people are going to think he's going to say Big Brother, which is on the Graduation album, because it talks specifically about Jay. And he goes, that song is great, but it's not as great as Jesus Walks. And they go, why? He said he's talking about Christian faith, and that's playing in a genre that thought that was super corny. He overcame that boundary, right? Talking about religious beliefs or whatever your faith is based on. And he goes, and they're playing that in a song, or they're playing that song in a club where people are sinning and drinking alcohol and like being unfaithful. And he goes, and he predicted that in the song. So that is by far his greatest song. And if you follow any sort of Christian hip hop, I don't really, I know some of them, Lecrae is a really prominent one right now. Mm-hmm. They owe part of their success to Kanye breaking ground on legitimately talking about Jesus in a non-corny fashion to where it's a song that people like. That's a generally enjoyed song.
Yeah, and...
It's a military start, right? Boom, 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 boom. So when you start hearing that, people kind of really enjoy it. It's a great song.
And that's where I was wanting to have that same feeling that of Jesus Walks on this album, because again, Jesus Walks wasn't necessarily him proclaiming faith, anything like that. Like, if you really listen to the song, that's not what it's about. But he did.
I beg to differ, because he goes, I ain't here to talk about his facial features or here to convert right. atheists into believers. I'm just trying to say the way school need teachers, the way Kathy needed Regis, that's the way I need Jesus. So he specifically said he's always needed Jesus. Well, not always. At that point in time, he said he always needed Jesus.
Right, but it's not like he does it near the end or like in the middle. But like not all the way through is he talking about Jesus. Like he says Jesus walks and he, it, you know, no, he's not like a heavy message like this one is.
Sure.
But what he did in Jesus Walks, what I really liked is he, like I said, he likes playing with words, and he likes you writing his lyrics to project the theme. Like when in Jesus Walks, when he says, "Hear ye, hear ye, want to see thee more clearly," or "Hear thee more clearly." Like, again, that's not a scripture, but he's talking the way that scripture is written to fit what he's talking about. So I thought that was really clever. And in Jesus is King, like he does a lot of, like, I don't know, I don't, well, it's not lazy, right? But it's just, it, for me, I just was like a lot of people like close on Sunday. I never liked that first line where he's like, close on Sunday, you my fish fillet.
Chick-fil-A.
Fish fillet is the Paris one. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. I know where people are coming from. Like I said, I try to tackle it from multiple angles. And so to your point, I think this is my view, I guess, really on the ultimate outcome of the album was him showcasing being vulnerable. So if you listen to all the instrumentation, he is typically renowned to having multiple layers to all of his tracks, right? Go back to Jesus Walks. It has multiple aspects where you hear very many different aspects musically and instrumentation-wise that create this crazy sounding, and it sounds fantastic and harmonious. This one is extremely stripped down. Standard, typically anywhere from 2 to 3 different layers of instrumentation on each track. And it focuses on him semi-singing, semi-talking, which is, I guess, somewhat of a reverent approach to things. And he's confessing a lot of personal things. So I think it was just an album of him showing, not that any of the other ones are personal, but it's strictly him just saying, this is what my faith is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't deep, like, from a religious context. So if you're a religious person or you like the idea of, you know, just religious connotation, I don't think it's very heavy in that. It's very basic, fundamental aspects of it. So from that perspective, yeah, it lacked. From a musicality, like, production standpoint, maybe it lacked if you expect the old Kanye where it's heavy with the bass and laden with a bunch of other things. But the way he approached it, and my brother actually listened to it, and he goes, I don't care for it, but I can actually admit it's very, very artistic the way he approached this album. And I think that's kind of it's a very stripped, very raw aspect of it where he's just almost poetry slam, but just better music.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's how I feel. And Closed on Sunday, I actually thought was good, except at the end he does his typical Kanye thing and he goes, Chick-fil-A! Because it drips down and it does that little synthesizer. Dun, 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 dun. I wish it would have just ended with that synthesizer beat. I thought that was fantastic. And then when he yells Chick-fil-A at the end, I'm like, ugh, that automatically made the song not as good as I think it could have been.
So like I said, he does all these, like, he does this stuff before on all of his albums.
I know, it's typical Kanye.
And it's typical Kanye stuff. But again, it's like, that was the whole thing. Like, he has, like, this theme that he's going on for this album, and then he does, like, his typical Kanye stuff for whatever reason, just sometimes just doesn't fit in to this album. And that's why I was kind of like, I'm not liking it too much. It's kind of like he's trying to do like this balancing act, and it just didn't resonate with me. I did like his song. Like, I always forget what it's called, but when he's talking about his dad, how his dad's always like kind of reprimanding him.
Sella,
is it Sella?
I think so.
Okay, I really like that one, especially because he talks about, you know, his dad's always, you know, telling him, well, that's not Christ. Like, what you're doing isn't Christ. Like, but he said, but you never tell me when I'm acting like Christ. And then at the very end, I mean, it's a very short song. And at the very end, when his dad gets upset, and then he's like, oh, that's not Christ. Like, but he didn't say anything. But then he gets upset. But then Kanye gets upset. The dad's like, that's not Christ. And he's like, ah!
Yeah.
So that was actually one of my favorite songs.
That's the most Kanye typical song. Because his flow and the beat matches what you typically expect out of Kanye. I think that's the one exception song out of the entire album. My favorite actually is Use This Gospel because it has clips, which happens to be Pusha T and his brother, who now, I had to research him now too, goes by No Malice.
Oh, really?
His name used to be Malice. Hip-hop name, yeah, but now it's No Malice. And he flipped to Christianity, and he's like trying to get his brother because Pusha T obviously doesn't fall within those lines. But I like that song because Kanye does his little Christian thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's Pusha T, who we all know isn't necessarily the most. He's not that he doesn't deny Christianity. He just isn't living it.
Yeah, he's not like proclaiming it. And
he's not religious. I guess we'll just say that.
He's not religious, yeah.
And then his brother, who was exactly like Pusha T back in the day, now flipped to do what kind of Kanye's doing. So you kind of get both sides to the coin from three different perspectives. And then there's the Kenny G saxophone solo, which I loved it because...
It was good. The thing is funny is like that's what people are like, Kenny G, and then people rag on it. But I was like, I thought it was actually really good touch.
The song reminds me, like, the beginning is just this little beeping sound that is, if you leave the key ignition in your car, like, kind of turned before you turn it on, and your car door is open, you know how it beeps? Bing, 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 yeah. Bing. I swear that's exactly what he took. And he put that in the song, and that's what I like it, because I think there's a psychological phenomenon where if you listen to the same sound over and over and over again, your mind learns to just kind of tune it out or even mildly accept it. And he builds on it. That is a common theme throughout the entire album. He picks a weird sound and it's just constantly hitting you. And to me, it's melodic. It's almost very relaxing. And I don't know if that's his ethereal way of approaching his music.
It could be. I'm not sure.
Anyways, they do that thing and it goes, he sings it by himself. Then there's like the backup chorus that does the exact same tune. And then Kenny G with the saxophone emulates that for like four bars. And then he does his own saxophone solo that has nothing to do with that like tune. And again, he when Kenny G mimics that tune, that melodic tone, there's a second layer saxophone that's backing him up on like the harmony. And then after the four bars, it drops away and it's strictly just one saxophone. I don't know. I read into all the music as I listened to it, and that's why I enjoyed it so much. I really think he thought it out from first bar to the last bar. Not his best project. I mean, not my favorite project, I'll say that much. But I enjoyed it, and I don't think that it was just a publicity stunt. I just think that's where he's at in his life right now. There is no swearing on the album, by the way. So yeah. That is technically an album you can play in front of anybody.
Yeah, and the all the themes, they're not anything controversial. I mean, when he talks about like when people don't want to hear about religion, but he's pulling out a religious album.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only, I guess, type of controversy that's in it.
Yeah, but you call him hypocritical, whatever the case may be, but that's kind of the concept of not just Christianity, of any faith, really, is the redemption piece, right? Okay, mm-hmm. You were this before. This is your road to redemption. He found his road to redemption. If he stays the course, we'll see. If not, great. We know he's now promoting that he's going to run for president. I will not be voting for him, but...
Is it in 2024?
I think. I don't know what year he claimed. I'm going to go with 2024, but he's not going to get my vote. I'm not going to get into the politics of it. I don't believe in the electoral vote, so I actually don't vote for president. Locally, I'll vote, but not for presidency.
So, overall, on this album, what would you give it?
Maybe backstory, too. I was on leave from work, so I really was at home pretty much 24/7 taking care of my mom. So, unless I was in her presence cooking, cleaning, I was always listening to music. And this album I played, I mean, it was nice. I actually got to enjoy it, and maybe that's what made me listen to it and made me enjoy it more. But I'll go with 8.5 out of 10.
That's pretty high.
I enjoyed it. I can still play it right now and enjoy it for the most part.
That's good. I guess I wasn't a big fan of it. I do see he had some really good songs in there. Again, I did like the production that he did. And the stuff that he incorporated in. And so I give it a 7 out of 10.
It's not bad.
Like I said, I don't think Kanye has done something where it was complete garbage. As far from what I've...
Yeah, his last... Ye. I think Ye is a...
Ye? Yeah, okay, I guess
there's two tracks on Ye. It's 7 tracks. So I guess it's percentage-wise. But even this album is less than 30 minutes. And that pissed me off, too.
It's 10 tracks, right? I think?
Yeah, I think it's 10.
But there's a lot of songs... They're like 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's just.
And then he has like a 5 minute song too.
Yeah.
Like Use This Gospel is an over 5 minute song.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Now that I think about it, maybe I'll bump it down just a solid 8. But you say that's high, and it is high. But keep in mind, Kanye, for me, most of his albums are sitting at 9 or higher. That's how I view Kanye. But.
Well, yeah. So 7 and an 8.
Either way,
so
I enjoyed it. 8 out of 10 for me. Yeah, 7 out of 10 for you.
Mine is 7. Like I said, I don't think it's like way bad. I just felt it kind of missed the mark that he was trying to put up. But you're saying it was more accurate what he was trying to do. So, yeah, I would say listen to it again. I'll probably listen to it again to see, to get more of a perspective on it. And it's going to be interesting what he's going to do now in the future.
You're a music guy, so really think a bit about it from like an emotional music perspective from the instruments. I think that might change your mind. If it doesn't, it's fine. But
yeah, I'll listen to more on that. But what do you okay, here's the question, though, before we leave. What do you think Kanye is going to do from now on?
After this?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's pretty hardcore on his delivery, like no more swearing. He really didn't swear in this song, which is weird. Neither did Pusha T, mind you. Pusha T's verse is considered clean.
And I'm pretty sure Kanye was like, keep it that way.
Yeah, Ty Dolla $ign was on this album. He also didn't swear either. I think he's going to focus on pushing that message. I don't know if he's going to become like...
a Christian rapper.
Yeah, he might be. This is a thing, unless you're aware of reggaeton, and even if you're not, I'll just say this. Reggaeton obviously is extremely prominent in Puerto Rico. And on the island, like, I'd say 95% of the biggest artists are Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been this trend for the past 10 years that many of them just all of a sudden stop and become pastors or become this religious leader.
What?
Where they stop making music and they just do that. And I see now Kanye, and this is just bringing up that aspect of me. I'm like, is he just going to stop making music and solely become a religious leader?
Well, he did have that service at
that's
his house,
why I'm saying,
right?
He's having Sunday services. He puts out this album, which is again typical of a lot of the reggaeton artists that have just kind of retired from music and gone on to live religious lives. I don't know if that's the path I'm gonna go with, but he loves music, and that's his greatest form of expression is his music. So that's so, also what I find difficult for him. I think we'll get one more album out of him before I can even ultimately decide what his fate in the music industry will be. Yeah,
so he might just retire and just go on this whole,
he's just going to be a businessman that's also a religious dude.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what he does. Hopefully, yeah, whatever he does, I mean,
good luck. I do want more music from him. I mean, granted, I'm a music dude, so if he can continue to produce good albums, which thankfully he redeemed from his last one, I hated Ye so much. And this one, I'm like, okay, thankfully he put out something good. So I hope he keeps putting stuff out.
And it's funny, though. There's a lot of people that liked Ye that I was like, I didn't like it. I know you didn't like it.
I don't know a single person personally that liked it.
I've seen it. Well, it's funny because I personally, I don't know. But I did some research on like people that review him online. And some were like, Ye was like, they're like, yeah, it was a callback to what he did before. I don't know what they were saying. I was like, what?
No, and maybe I hated it even more because he ruined so many other albums. Like, I don't care about Kid Cudi, but I know Kid Cudi fans that didn't like it.
Yeah.
And they pointed towards Kanye's direction. Pusha T's album, who some people called classic. I'm like, I don't know if I'd call it a classic. Maybe lyrically it was fine, but I didn't like the production quality of it. Nas's album, who I was super excited for because I'm a huge Nas fan. Nope. Just ruining all these albums. So I don't know if just that moment in time made Ye that much worse for me, but I literally only like two songs from that.
Yeah, but let us know what you thought about Jesus is King, and tell us about what you thought of Juice WRLD. Our next few episodes are going to be kind of different because I know we did the whole like theme and then news things, but because we're near the end of the year, we want to do something different. So we have our top five list that we're going to talk about, top five songs, but whoa, excuse me. We had Poppy who wanted to do something of a top five artists and top five albums of the year.
So, yeah, keep in mind that if you have the best album, it doesn't necessarily mean you were the greatest artist of the year. So just to keep that in mind, I think we'll explain a bit more when we actually do it. But on top of the top five songs, which I'm always excited to kind of do because I really think 2019 was a good year for me as a hip-hop fan. I don't know if other hip-hop fans would agree. I think we got a eclectic taste on what hip-hop currently is. We got a lot of the old school coming out this year. We had a lot of the new school showing up and actually putting out great music this year. Different music personalities. I've enjoyed this year in music as far as hip-hop goes.
Yeah, I've been able to explore a lot more than I did last year. And I think that's helped me. I think it's just because I have different tastes than Poppy does. So I like it because we're going to have completely different. I already know we're going to have completely different lists. I think we might have one artist in the top five, which we talked about.
I really think we'll have just the one, but yeah, aside from that,
but it's going to be a different song too. I already know that too. So,
but yeah, and really quick, I guess I know we had a lot of people that wanted to review us to review the last Kanye album. So quickly, shout out to Heather. I know she'll listen to it because we'll tell her that we're releasing it. Yeah. And then for our friend Jose, we'll definitely do the URL in the next two podcasts. We will for sure do that one.
Yeah, we got to do that one as well for him. So thank you guys so much for listening to Hip Hop Soiree.
Still have them. Oh, we have to owe them the song.
Oh, wait.
You don't have one, do you?
No, I do. I always forget.
I hope it's not the one I think.
No, it's from a person called Little Brother.
Oh, I know him.
And he has a song called Loving It.
Yeah.
I really like that. I have this this radio station called Simply Bars that's on Google Music, and I was into that. He listened to Little Brother, and I was like, "Holy crap! This is like it's not really like a deep song, but they just talk about stuff that they like and both like materialistic stuff and just stuff outside of that. And it was just a cool like song that includes all of that. And it was
I'm considering him for my top five artists this year.
He's up there.
I'm considering him. Mine is Deep by Fat Joe and Dre. Dre's a producer, not Dr. Dre. Dre is a separate producer.
Yeah.
But it samples Keith Sweat's How Deep Is Your Love. If you're into R&B, that's like in the 90s. But Dre does a fantastic job of sampling it. He does the singing aspect. Joe, you know, Flo Joe, he's got the crazy bars. I really enjoy this song. I'm a Fat Joe fan, and his last album, Family Ties, just recently came out. It's not in the runnings for top five for me because unfortunately it's too late in the year for me to consider it, but we'll see. I'll do a review on it later.
Yep. So Fat Joe is called what again?
Family Ties. Oh, no. The song is Deep.
Song is Deep. And then mine is Little Brother, and the song's called Loving It. So listen to those two. Those are really good songs. So that's everything for this episode. This is DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.